You are listening to a recording from Mayo Baptist Church. We invite you to come worship with us, where we strive to love God, love others, and serve the world.
We need Him. But I have good news this morning. No matter where you are, no matter what you face, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will go with you all the way, even to the very end. Amen. Never once.
Amen.
I've been serving Him a long time, and never once has He ever left me on my own. Standing on this mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step You were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much You've done, knowing every victory was Your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did You leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, You are faithful. Every step we are breathing in Your grace. Evermore we'll be breathing out Your grace. We are faithful, God. And struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone, carried by Your constant grace. Never once did we ever walk alone. Oh no, never. Oh, You are faithful, God. You are faithful. Every step we are breathing in Your grace. Evermore. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. We are thankful for the faithfulness of our Lord. If you would, please join me in turning in your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14. Today I want us to continue in our Bible study through this amazing Gospel. As the writer of Luke has been recording for us, Jesus is on his road towards Calvary. Every step that he takes is one step closer to the moment that he would be sacrificed. And then coming to chapter 14, we see that a large dinner party is about to take place. Many people are invited to come and join, and even Jesus is invited as a guest to come to this party. Now, I'm not sure how many parties you all have put together or how many parties that take place, but one thing I know about parties is this, is that in order to have a successful party, all the planning and preparation is key. Invitations must go out. RSVPs must be returned. However, many people don't. Today, we send out text messages, Facebook invitations, Instagram, Snapchat. We send out all kinds of invitations because that's the most important thing to having a successful party. An invitation must go out. But then also, the invitation must be received as well. Not only is it important for an invitation to go out, but it's important for one to be received. Receiving an invitation is key, unless it gets lost in the mail, which is what I've been told many times. I believe there's this palette of invitations that is somewhere, and it has my name on all of them, and on the palette it says, lost in the mail. That's where they all are. I believe that. Because why else would I not get invited to the party, right? It's important to send out invitations, but it's also important to receive them as well. But this isn't true also only in our physical life, but it's also true in our spiritual life as well. You see, we must be invited to the kingdom of heaven by Jesus, by Him, by Himself. There is no other way for us to get into heaven. There's no other way for us to receive Jesus but being invited through the Holy Spirit by Him. One day there will be a huge feast that takes place in heaven. And all those who are invited and all those who receive the invitations and accepts those invitations will be sitting at the banquet there in heaven. Today we had the great privilege to witness the baptism of Jack. Jack was invited to the banquet. Jack was invited to the kingdom of heaven. And Jack not only got the invitation, but Jack also received the invitation. And Jack took up the invitation and received Jesus Christ into his life. And one day, Jack will sit at the dinner table in heaven. And listen, today, I don't know where you are. I don't know your story. I don't know all about your life or what's going on in your life. But I want you to know this. That everyone is invited to the kingdom of heaven, that Jesus does invite each and every person to come and to sit at this table with Him. The invitation goes out, but we must receive it as well. Coming to Luke chapter 14, here I remind you what we have seen so far in the past. Jesus has been healing and teaching the people. He's even healed and taught on the Sabbath day, and this upset the Pharisees. And so the Pharisees now plan this dinner, this big dinner, and they invite Jesus as one of their guests. Well, they set up the situation because here on the Sabbath day, they invite Jesus to come into the party, and there they're going to sit next to Him, a man with dropsy. Well, Jesus, being Jesus, is not going to allow someone to remain in their sin or remain in their ailment. Jesus is going to heal him, and they know that Jesus is going to heal him. But they're all alone. They're trying to come up with a reason that they can push Jesus away, that they can get rid of him, that they can kill him. They're looking for some reason to execute Jesus Christ. And here they set up the perfect scenario. It's on the Sabbath day. We're going to bring Jesus into this dinner party. We're going to set him next to someone who needs to be healed. And this says something about these Pharisees. They knew what Jesus was going to do. They knew the power of Jesus. They knew what Jesus was capable of. They knew Jesus was going to heal this man, and they were going to catch him in the act on the Sabbath day. And then they would have reason to take him before the courts. And so notice the situation here. Starting here in verse 1, says it happened that when he went out into the house of one of the leaders of the Pharisees on the Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him closely. Notice they're watching him. They're setting up the situation. And there in front of him was a man suffering from dropsy. And Jesus answered, and he spoke to the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they kept silent. And he took hold of him, and he healed him, and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which one of you will have a son or an ox fall into a well and will not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" And they could make no reply to this. And he began speaking a parable to the invited guests when he noticed how they had been picking out the places of honor at the table, saying to them, "When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for someone more distinguished than you may have been invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to this man,' and then in disgrace you will proceed to occupy the last place. But when you're invited, go and recline at the last place, so that when the one who has invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher,' then you will have honor in the sight of all who are at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." And he also went out and he said to the one who invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may also invite you in return, and that you will have your repayment. But when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteousness." Notice verse 15 says, "When one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, 'Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of heaven.'" Now notice what's taking place here. At this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has been performing all these miracles. He's healing the sick. He's doing these things. And many people are being inspired. They see what's going on with Jesus, except for the Pharisees. The Pharisees are getting upset. They're getting their feathers ruffled. Why? Because Jesus isn't following their set of laws, their set of restrictions. Jesus is healing and doing all these things just as he knows that he can, being the Son of God. The Pharisees don't believe Jesus is the Son of God. They believe he's just some crazy man who showed up trying to perform all these acts and trying to gain a following. And so these Pharisees, they want to find reason to put him out. And Luke even tells us that they were watching him closely, looking for any reason that they could find fault and could take him to the court and even have him stoned to death or killed. You say, well, Jesus here is at a feast. This man with dropsy, this illness dropsy, it means that his body was filling up with liquids. There was no way for the liquids to be coming out of his body, but they was all going in, so he had dropsy. And Jesus asked these religious leaders, he says, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Notice they kept quiet. He hasn't actually committed the act yet. Let's all remain silent and let's see what he does. Jesus, already knowing what's in the heart of these Pharisees, then takes the initiative and he heals the man. He takes the man, heals him, and sends him away. Well, the Pharisees right there are thinking, "We've got him. We've got him. He's now healed this man on the Sabbath. He's done this in front of all of us. We are all witnesses. We can all take him to the court now." But Jesus doesn't just heal, but Jesus then tells them a story. "Which one of you would have a son or an ox fall into a well, would not immediately rush to pull him out, to work hard to get him out?" Well, the obvious answer is they all would do it. They would all rush to work or to help their own family, their own relative, a loved one, if they're in pain or in desire or in distress. Jesus here reveals something to these Pharisees, is that they were not willing to allow themselves or anyone else to work for other people. But when it came to themselves, they were okay with it. There was a selfishness that was here. And that's why Jesus continues and starts to teach them about humility, about sitting at the place of honor. Because these Pharisees had no humility in their lives. They were anything but humble. They were prideful. They were outspoken. They were the ones that wanted to be on the front lines for everyone to see. And Jesus tells them a story about being humble, being humbled, about coming into this dinner guest, as a dinner guest, into this table and sitting in the place that you weren't expected to sit at. He says, if you come in and you sit at the high place, if someone more distinguished than you comes in, well, the dinner guest, the person that brought you here, may come and say, you know what, this spot is for this person. You need to go back here. And then you would feel awful getting up and walking over there. But Jesus says, no, instead, go to the back of the table. Go to the least place so that whenever he comes to you, he may say, well, no, I want you to set up here. And you get to stand up and walk up in front of everyone and sit at the more distinguished place. He says it's about humility. It's about being humbled. But ultimately, it's about being invited. Right, I want you to remember the entire passage here of Jesus' teaching is about being invited. Well, how does humility fit into being invited? Listen to me, it's a humbling thing to be invited to the kingdom of heaven. Because to be invited to the kingdom of heaven reminds you that you're not good yourself to get yourself there on your own. It's humbling to know that you're a sinner, that you're lost, that you need someone to come and to sacrifice their life for you so that you could inherit the kingdom of heaven. You can't do it yourself. It's only through Jesus. We must be invited. Being invited to the kingdom of heaven is key. Being invited lets you know that you're wanted. Being invited lets you know that you're a part of his family. Me and my wife this last week had a week together as the kids, all three of our kids, went to youth camp this week. Well, during this week, we had to spend a lot of time at hospital visits and going places, but it was wonderful because my wife actually got to come with me now. Since the kids were gone, she got to ride with me, and we made two trips over to Tallahassee, and on both trips, I don't know if you know this, I know this, you may know this after I tell you, is that on the way to Tallahassee Hospital, there's a Krispy Kreme right there on the road. It's right there. You pass it going, you pass it coming. All the time you pass it. And listen to me, what is so great about Krispy Kreme when you pull up there? Is the light on? That's right. Is it on? Well, sometimes it's on, sometimes it's not. Well, the second time we're going, okay, we passed by there, and the light was not on the first time we passed going to the hospital. But we're coming home, and we're pulling up, and Krispy Kreme is over here on the left, and we're sitting here at the light, and I look over, and guess what? The light is on. And I tell Karen, I said, now's the time. We've got to make a stop. We're pulling in. Well, we go through the light. We go around through the little place you get to, and we pull up into the parking spot, and I'm facing Krispy Kreme, and I look up, and guess what happens? The light's out. I tell Karen, hurry up. We got to get out. We got to get in there. And we rush in there, and we tell the woman, I say, I want some of those fresh donuts that just came out. I saw the light was on. And she said, I'm sorry. The light now is out. That batch was bad. We can't sell them. And I was thinking, you got to be kidding me. The light being on is an invitation to come into Krispy Kreme. That's why they put the light there, to get you to come in. But listen, when you see that light is out, it says stay away. There's no sense. You can buy those at the gas station. It's a humbling feeling. Walking in, thinking you're about ready to get some fresh donuts, and you walk out with something that you could have got at the S&S. It's sad. It's humbling. But listen, it's all about the invitation. Why do they put the light out there? To invite you to come in. It's a wonderful feeling, not only just Krispy Kreme, but anything, being invited to come in. It's a great feeling to be invited. And listen to me, Jesus is telling us here in this passage that all of us are invited to sit with him at the dinner feast. All of us. Not just some of us. Not just a part of us. But all of us. But it's not just about the invitation that's key. it's about receiving the invitation as well. Notice here in verse 12 again. It says, and he also went on to say to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Otherwise, they may invite you in return that you may have repayment. He says, in other words, when you make your invitations, don't just invite those that can return an invitation later on. He said, because that'll be your repayment. But instead, he says, when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, since they do not have the means to repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteousness. And choked up thinking about them Krispy Kremes. Jesus here, he's saying, do not eat meals here with the primary goal of gaining something in return from someone else. Jesus here is teaching them how to do things with the right heart, with the right motive, with the right thinking that's going on, having the right intentions, because if you only help people that can help you in return, he says, then that is your reward. And Jesus is telling the host, don't invite for the sake of getting a return invitation. He said, but you invite those that can't repay you. You invite those who are out there that can't give it to you in return. And then he says in verse 13, when you give a reception, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. In other words, those that are outcasts, those that are on the outside, he says, bring them in. And he says, you will be blessed. See, the same concept of doing things for the right reason here is the same as what we would instill in our children today. You don't do things for other people just so that you can get something in return. You do it out of the goodness of your heart. You do it because you care. And leave the rewards up to God. Jesus is teaching here from the bigger picture of not being selfish, but being sacrificial. And then one of the dinner guests speaks up and says here in verse 15, he says, when one of those who were reclining at the table with him heard this, he said to him, blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God. Well, at first you may think, well, that's a profound statement he's making. But really it's not. Because here is what he's saying. Blessed is everyone who is sitting here like us will eat in the kingdom of heaven. Pretty much he's saying this. All of the Pharisees that have gathered around, they're going to be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. And it's only us. That's what he's saying. People like me. People like these, people like these Pharisees, us, they're the only ones that are going to be invited. But Jesus combats this here and with a parable. Starting in verse 16, he said to him, a man was giving a big dinner, and he invited many. And at the dinner hour, he sent his slave to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is ready now. Notice verse 18, he says, but they all alike began to make excuses. The first one said to him, I've bought a piece of land and I need to go and I need to look at it. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen and I am going to try them out. Please consider me excused. Another one said, I have married a wife and for that reason I cannot come. And the slave came back and reported this to his master. And then the head of the household became angry and he said to a slave, go out at once into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the crippled and the blind and the lame. And the slave said, master, what you command has been done and still there is room. And the master said to the slave, go out into the highways and along the hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste of my dinner. There were 2 types of invitations during this time. There was the invitation that was sent out ahead of time so people can make plans. But then there was also the invitation on the day of where the master would send out his slave to invite everyone that he came in contact with to come and take part in this banquet that has been prepared. But I want you to notice what happens when the servant goes and tells those who are invited to come. One says, I bought a field. Please excuse me. The next one says, I bought an ox. Please excuse me. Another says, I just got married. Therefore, I cannot come. We see excuses after excuses after excuses. The master of the feast then becomes angry, and he says to the servant, go get the poor, the crippled, the blind, the lame. Go get them all and invite them all to come to the banquet. And the servant says, I've done all this, but we still have room at the table. Then he says, go to the highways, along the hedges. In other words, he says, go everywhere you can. Get anybody you can find and compel them to come in. Now, what is Jesus saying here in this parable? And I want you to be careful how you interpret it, and I want you to make sure that you don't miss this. Because Jesus here is saying that all those religious hypocrites, all those Pharisees that invited him to come into this banquet, that were trying to trap him, these keepers of the law, the ones that God first invited to the feast, since they're all full of excuses, they all have a reason why they cannot come, Jesus is saying that the banquet is ready, the time has come, and all these Pharisees have every excuse in the world not to be a part of it. They're not ready, so they're not going to be invited. And he says, go out and get my people that will come and sit at my table. He says, the inauguration has happened. The feast is at hand. People need to come and receive him as their Lord and Savior and sit at the table. And I want you to notice this. He doesn't leave out anybody. Everyone is invited to come into the kingdom of heaven and be a part of this feast. It's not any kind of a special club that you have to be a part of something to be able to come. No, Jesus is telling them that the kingdom of heaven is ready, it's prepared, and people need to come and receive him as their Lord and Savior so that they can sit at the dinner table as well. Just like our brother Jack did in his life these last few weeks. He heard the invitation. He received the invitation, and he now is a part of the family that will sit at the table. And listen to me, that is the only way you will sit at the table in the kingdom of heaven. Being a good person will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. Doing righteous things will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. Living a life trying to do your best will not get you into the kingdom of heaven. It is only through Jesus, being invited by him, can you come into the kingdom of heaven. It is the only way. It's the only way. And there's a problem with that. Some people may say, well, that's just a little too narrow-minded, Brother Rick, to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. That seems narrow-minded. It seems like a narrow way. It seems like only a few will find it. You know what I say? You're exactly right. Because that's what Jesus says. It's a narrow way that only few will find. It's a narrow door that only few will enter. It's a narrow path that only few find. Why? Because it's only through Jesus. You say, well, Brother Rick, there's many people all over this world that claim that they're following Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And there's a problem with that. Because many of those people that think that they're holding on to an invitation may actually be holding on to their own self-righteousness. And when that time comes and the dinner is ready and the master sends the servant to get his people, that some may be left holding only their self-righteousness. It's important that you're invited to the kingdom of heaven. But listen to me, it's just as important that you receive that invitation and you accept it into your life. Because you can be invited and not go because you didn't receive it. And I believe that many people in our world today, maybe even some in our sanctuary right now, sitting here hearing these words, that have heard the invitation, but they've never actually received it into their life and been saved. The Bible tells us all who call upon his name shall be saved. It's only by the calling of the Holy Spirit will one even try to call out to the Lord for salvation. And if the Holy Spirit today is calling out to you and crying out in your heart, allowing you to see that you're lost and that you need to receive Jesus Christ in your life, then that's your invitation. But here's the question: will you receive it into your life? Because the kingdom has been inaugurated. The dinner is being prepared. And one day, His people will come and sit at the table. Will you have a place at that table? Will you have a place?